Quiz show, top of the hour. I forget the score. All I know is I won last week's quiz show.
It's 4-2.
4-2. I can cut it to a game. Paul, I think you were talking to the boss earlier. Any of the cuts around the NFL entice you? Does a guy like Kadarius Toney get your attention? He doesn't get, I mean, athletically he does, but what a disaster he was in Kansas City.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he almost single-handedly kept them from winning a second straight Super Bowl.
And the bottom line is, it's not like he had a bad quarterback that was throwing to him.
Right.
Noah Brown does.
Yeah, I saw Pony tweeted about him.
I would have some interest in him. There was like 3, 4, 5 different corners that have been cut. Who was the guy we talked about yesterday that was cut, the corner?
Henderson.
Yeah.
C.J. Henderson.
C.J. Henderson I'd have some interest in him. I mean, I think they need a corner and they need a receiver.
I don't see any Joe Hayden types. Seems like that was a once in a lifetime. Remember when he fell into their laps when the Browns cut him and he wanted to play here? Maybe partially out of revenge to that. I don't know what it was, but he wanted to play here. That doesn't look like anything like that is happening. This just, it looks like you're going to be reaching no matter where you go. Right?
Right. I mean, obviously guys are getting cut. Guys are getting cut for a reason. Some of them, though, it's financial. It's not that they're bad players. It's just financially, you know, the team drafted a younger guy who's cheap.
Yeah.
They need to fit into the salary cap, so they're cutting a guy who's, you know, who costs a lot of money, who might not, you know, who might be maybe marginally better than the rookie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What do you make of this Deion Sanders stuff, Paul? You and I, you're a big Deion fan. I like Deion.
Yeah, I do.
I've had a couple of interactions, but this crap with the newspaper there, to me, is ridiculous, and it makes him look horrible. Jim Trotter, for those of you who don't know, there's a columnist for the Denver Post who's been very critical of Deion and that program, and they've basically cut them off. I don't know if there's an update to that story, but not just the columnist. They've cut off the Denver Post, and Deion seems to think that the media covering his team should be fans of his team,
right,
like boosters.
Right.
I just think he looks horrible. Jim Trotter wrote a great column on this the other day. Like basically, what are you doing? You look like a bully. You look like a hypersensitive coach who can't take any criticism. I think he looks bad, Paul. You?
You are in the Hall of Fame. You've won Super Bowls. You were on World Series teams. You are one of the all-time great athletes of our life. Why are you so insecure?
Yeah.
If I had one question to ask him, I would say, why are you so insecure? What is it that you think is not secure enough about you and about your legacy? Because he's always doing the, you know, God Squad stuff. That's something that's starting to get on my nerves a little bit. He's always falling to the God Squad stuff. You know what I mean? I'm defined by God and, you know, this and that. Okay, great. But at the end of the day, you and some of your players have acted like total jackasses. And when you do that, you're going to get called out. It's not the devil rising up in people, and it's not, you know, forces of evil and all the other stuff. If you show your ass, people are going to do everything in their power, you know what I mean, to wear it out. Especially when you give them reason to. When you've got your players wearing Rolex watches or whatever during the game or whatever it was after the one guy scores a touchdown and he's pointing to his watch like, yeah, and they end up losing the game. Guess what? So, to me, Deion Sanders, A, has no reason to be insecure. You're Deion Sanders, for God's sakes. But the second part of it is, all of this idea that somehow the criticism of him and his program is unwarranted, and of course we've heard, well, you know, they even take always got to take it to, well, you know, it's based in a little bit of racism and all this other stuff. No. No, no, no. This guy has put a target on his back. He's put a target on the back of his program. Now, That's been part of his genius, because guess what? For given, you know, how bad that team is, we talk a whole lot about him. So he's been able to put him on the map that way. But when you put yourself out there like that, and you're continually always just, you know, talking trash and doing the things they're doing, and, you know, you're going to get criticized when you don't have success. And guess what? You don't have success. They haven't had success. And here's the other thing, like we've talked about. I think everybody knows that the minute his kids are done playing at Colorado, he's done coaching at Colorado. He's 100% about coaching his kids. And the other kid, what's the two-way player that's really good?
Travis Hunter.
Hey, him.
He's unbelievable.
His two kids and that kid. That's all he cares about.
Well, when he got off to a good start last year, he definitely jumped the gun by saying, I told you so. And then his team just got absolutely shredded the rest of the year.
Right.
And you're right. When you come in carrying a big stick like that and telling everybody what's going to change and that you're the one who's going to be doing it right and you better get us now because we're going to get you later, well, you better get them or you have to expect the blowback. Come on. Well, come on, Dion. You have to expect the blowback and live with it. And he's got a great sense of humor. Somewhere in our archives here is my interaction with him from the Super Bowl, Paul. A number of years ago, it was the Steelers-Packers Super Bowl in Dallas. Were you there? Were you covering it?
No.
There was a special room on Media Day for NFL Network people, or maybe ESPN, I can't remember. I think it was NFL Network. And you could go in and interview him. And there was Dion. So I walked into the room, and he says to me, come over here. Never met him in my life. He says, come over here. Take a seat. He said, put your foot on my knee. I said, okay. And he proceeds to tie my shoe. He said, I got a fetish about that. He said, I can't stand people walking around with untied shoes. So I interviewed him partially for part of the time while he was tying my shoe. And he was tremendous. He was great.
Yes.
He was friendly. He was outgoing. He seems like a guy you'd want to spend time with. But in this situation, I don't think Dion gets advice from anybody. Is there anybody there with media savvy who's telling him, what's up, Paul? That's my question. Does he have advisors around him? Does he have an E.J. Borghetti around him, that type, telling him, this is what you got to say and not say up here today?
Yeah.
And yes, of course, I don't know who's running that school right now, who the AD is. We're going to have the Denver Post covering our football team.
Right.
Period.
Especially since they've probably worked really hard over the last 20 years to get the Denver Post interested in covering their football team.
Right.
Now they're finally interested in covering it. Listen, it's the whole thing with any publicity is bad publicity. But he objected to the fact, and we've all seen the clip.
You mean any is good?
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
I don't know what I said, but that's what I meant. He basically, we've all seen the clip, reacted to the guy and basically said, well, why do you even come here? You know, you seem to be negative. You're a negative guy. What have I done what have we done to deserve this and all this?
Yeah.
What you've done doesn't matter. He's not on your team. This is what drives me crazy. You know, I remember when I used to cover Pitt, there was always a segment of the Pitt fan base that would be, you're too negative, because I point out, you know, oh, by the way, this is the third week in a row they've given up 600 plus yards. Or, you know, the one year when their defense was so bad, I wrote something to the effect of, well, the good news about having a horrible defense is the games are always entertaining. You know, I wouldn't take shots at, but I would just write what was actually, you're a 4-8 football team last year that talked a lot, that acted the fool a lot. So guess what? If I was there in that town and I was covering it, I'd be ripping you too.
I'd be criticizing them in some of the same ways I've criticized Narduzzi for some of the stuff he said over the past few years, just basically ripping him, putting his offensive saying his offensive coordinator makes quarterback decisions.
Yeah.
It's one of the most ridiculous things anybody's ever heard. So here's the other thing. Here's the other thing is that Deion's not alone in getting ripped. He seems to think he's being singled out here. Every coach gets ripped to shreds when they lose. Every coach everywhere, let alone guys who are out there saying, I'm going to do this differently. You watch what we do. You watch how good we're going to be, how great we're going to be. And talking the talk like that, you better believe you're going to get shredded. He knows this. That's the thing.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, to me, I'm sorry. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then, you know, I heard him saying, oh, well, you know, Nick Saban can have a back and forth with the media and he doesn't get criticized for it. Well, first of all, he does get criticized.
Right.
Every one of those clips where he's a jerk, he gets ripped. But secondly, could you win a national title, much less seven, before you start comparing yourself to Nick Saban?
I mean, yeah, right. And that part, too, really galls me. Like, you know, I'm being treated differently than anybody else. There's a guy at Ohio State who almost never loses in Ryan Day. Go spend a day on talk radio there. Somebody should take Deion down there and say, listen to this. For this guy who's like, what's his record? That he's 56-8.
Yes.
And he's 39-3 in the Big Ten, and he gets shredded. He's lost. How many Big Ten games has he lost since he got there in 2019? Three.
And they're all to Michigan.
They're all to Michigan. He's also beaten Michigan three times. He's 39-3 in the conference, and he gets ripped. And apparently the guy's coaching for his job this season.
Yes. He's got to beat Michigan this year, or they're talking about firing him.
So if I'm going to start with people who are possibly being treated unfairly with the media, I'll start with Ryan Day, who's 56-8, and then maybe around, you know, Coach 800, I'll get to Deion.
Right. I mean, the other part of it is he's had so many people that are basically, you know, apologists for him in the media, which I don't know that there's many people that are apologists for Ryan Day. He at least has a bunch of guys, you know what I mean, a bunch of media guys who will defend everything Deion does. Ryan Day, I'm not sure, has many of those at all.
It's incredible.
I mean, there's people here. You know, the other guy that gets ripped all the time is Brian Kelly. You know?
Yeah.
When he was at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly actually had Notre Dame on the verge of, you know, given, and they do have some structural limitations, but all he did at Notre Dame was, what was his record? Something like he was there for 6 or 7 years, and his record there at Notre Dame, if you think about it, he was his last 5 years, double-digit wins every year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and you can make a case for James Franklin, too, although I think there's legit criticism of Franklin, and we'll be levying some of that this week. But again, on the Deion scale, when you talk about a guy who last year finished 13th in the country, the year before that 7th, he has 3 top 10 rankings since he got to Penn State. 4, I'm sorry. He has 5 double-digit win seasons, and he gets absolutely shredded. Again, not without some good reason.
Right.
But he would also be up there on the scale about 1,000 spots above Deion.
Like you said, Ryan Day is the best example. The best example is Ryan Day.
Our coverage on The Fan here regarding college football at the moment, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Why don't we take one more call, Wonder Twin? Go ahead.
Let's go to Chuck in Uniontown. Or not Chuck in Uniontown, I'm sorry. Jeff in Uniontown.
Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Joe, Paul. I just wanted to talk about Cam Hayward and talk about being negative. I feel like I'm the only person who doesn't think this guy deserves another contract. take his name off the back of his jersey. Call him Player X, all right? And you look at the stuff that's written down. You got a 35-year-old guy, going to be 36, coming off surgery, and he has another year on his contract, and then he wants years after that? Tell me how that makes sense.
Well, let me jump in early here and tell you very respectfully that I think that there's a lot of people who think that they're the ones swimming against the tide here. But Jeff, there's tons and tons of people when this topic first came up, when Cam first expressed his displeasure with the Steelers, I would even say the majority, who said it's not a good idea right now to give Cam Hayward a contract extension. So just so you know, you have tons of company there. Tons of company for the reasons that you suggested. His age, coming off a major injury and had a bad year. The people are smart. A lot of people would say, no matter who it is, this is not a good time to give this guy a contract extension. We appreciate the call. Paul, do you think he's going to get it before the end of camp? The end of the preseason,
I should say? It before the end of the preseason, which means he's not going to get it till after the season.
Which makes sense, right?
I think they want to see what he can do. Absolutely. They want to make sure he's healthy before they sign him up again for the next couple of years. I don't have a problem with that. I think if a guy's under contract, I understand why all these guys want, you know, just like Brandon Ayuk. I get it. But he's under contract. But I get it why he would like to have the financial security of that next contract with all that guaranteed money before he plays so he doesn't get injured and hurt.
And he's a younger guy. I mean, Cam's had his money, and the Steelers made him, treated him with the utmost respect.
Right.
I think they gave him the highest number contract for a defensive player over 30, I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And he's still making good money on that. So it just makes all the sense in the world to see after the season what the options are here. Why not? And if he wants to go elsewhere, if that's his move, everybody will survive, including him. He'll be fine.
Right.
You know, and all the fans will be fine. But I don't think that would be his move, by the way. I think if he has a really good year, he'll wind up signing a contract here. You?
Well, I think he will. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else.
Me neither.
And I think that the Steelers don't want to, you know, they would like to sign him to a deal. So, you know, I'm just going to wait to see how it plays out. That's the biggest thing.
Coming up, the moment you've all been waiting for, the resumption of the quiz show. Paul versus me versus Paul. Limits versus Paul, Paul versus me, Limits versus Paul, and maybe Dan Zangrilli coming in. Is that a possibility for this quiz, Joe?
Well, Zangrilli will be at 12:30.
I know, but if he's in the building, we can scour the building and round him up. Can we do that?
If you would wish
Paul,
to do
would
that,
you
we
prefer,
can.
Would you prefer, last week you seemed distracted by Zangrilli's presence during the quiz show, to the point where you blamed him for your poor performance.
Well,
would you rather have him not here?
I'm fine with him being here now that I know I will be able to do it a little differently.
All right, let's do that. Man, I wonder what that guy's feeling after these last few games.
Daryl in Houston.
Somebody check on his well-being, perhaps.